WRSU-FM New Brunswick. We just heard Stevie Wonder, Mr. Know-It-All from Intervisions. Dinah Krall, Love Me Like a Man from Girl in the Other Room, her new record. The Resonance with the Walrus Hunt off of Eskimo. And The Supermen as performed by Dr. Mix and The Remix off of Wall of Noise, newly reissued on Acute Records. Thanks for listening to Buddy's Art. I appreciate the calls. I appreciate your listenership. Stay tuned for the Radio Trifecta here on WRSU.
We'll be right back. And you are listening to WRSU FM New Brunswick, 88.7 on the left-hand side of that FM dial. My name is Christopher Esposito. We are lucky enough today to be joined in the studio by Dr. S and the Phone-Ins. Kenny, Tyler, are you with us?
I believe we are.
Hi.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you for having us on your fine radio program.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. So I guess, first question, let's do some of your history. The track we're hearing is one of your early tracks, is that correct?
Yes.
And that's from when you were living actually in New Brunswick?
Yes, it's from a brief period when Kenny and I had a small apartment.
Uh-huh.
And we made some music together on our free time. We both were working two jobs at the time. And, you know, there's not much time to be doing a major league recording, going into the studio or anything. So we had this this four-track thing on the computer. Uh-huh. And late at night, on the few evenings when we were both home alone together, we'd jam. And this is one of the results, which is available now on the compilation Dr. S and the Phone-Ins, The Hive Years, 1996 through 1998.
The Hive Years, and that's not actually out yet. That'll be out within a month, right?
Hopefully within a month. We're still working out a distribution deal.
Yeah. Who do you think it's going to go out with?
I don't think it's wise to maybe say anything before, you know, before the letters are signed.
It.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin the possible deal. But I will say this, that I think it will be available much more so than our last record, which honestly I think the label kind of, you know, didn't do that good a job of promoting and getting into the stores for the people.
Mm-hmm. So it won't be out on that label.
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Why is it just the two of you? You know, I had never actually met you guys, so I when I asked you in for the interview, I was expecting the drummer as well. But
well, we do use a drummer for certain live performances, and on our last two records, he joined us for a few tracks on the studio record. But we think largely the band of consisting as us. We're the songwriters. We're the composers. We are Dr. S and the Phone-Ins.
Okay.
And we should also say that, you know, that's not to diminish the talents of any of the many drummers that have worked with us.
There have been many, haven't there?
Yeah. There have been a lot of incidents. It's kind of a Spinal Tapian, if you will.
But no bizarre gardening accidents.
No bizarre gardening accidents. Thankfully, they're all, well, except for Roger, who He hurt himself, but that was after he left the band. They're all well and good and intact.
Uh-huh.
If not working with us.
Okay, all right. And where are you guys living now? And when's the next album of new stuff we can expect?
Well, we're hoping to have this album ready for our tour of Japan.
No kidding. When's that going on?
Hopefully this fall.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those things where things aren't signed yet, so we don't know exactly how it's going to go, but fingers crossed, this will be the first time the band gets over there. You know, it's one of those strange things. Our records in our hometown, nobody knows about them, and we get fan mail like crazy from Japan, so we've always wanted to go there.
Yeah.
We really feel that Japan not only has been an influence on our sensibilities, but is really where our true potential audience lies. I think their culture over there is going to be extremely receptive to our brand of sounds.
We're going
to
call our next album Small in Japan.
Small in Japan.
Is that a live album?
It's ironic.
Well, irony isn't what it, you know.
Irony isn't what it used to
kidding.
Be. That's okay. And you guys have known each other pretty much
almost all our lives, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Well, we met in kindergarten.
Yeah.
It's funny, Tyler was playing with blocks, and he was building these blocks, and you know the blocks with the letters on the side?
I've used them.
Mm-hmm. And he spelled out the word cash. Cash. And maybe if I was a little older, I would have known, you know, that he was a future Wall Street-style capitalist, Gordon Gekko, because that was apparently what he was thinking of. He was thinking of his money. But I was one of those... I was kind of sheltered from that lifestyle, being raised by former hippies.
Former hippies?
Yeah, former hippies.
Okay.
They were former hippies, and then they reconverted and lived in a dome in Oregon. Uh-huh. But... I was kind of unaware of that, and knew only about music. Most of my exposure to the world came through the records that my parents would give me.
Uh-huh.
So I thought he was talking about
what kind of
Johnny Cash.
I got it. What kind of records were those? Who do you guys listen to when you think of your stuff?
Oh wow, there's so many. It's difficult.
I mean, I can't. You know, half these songs I can't find anybody in there. They're just so original and so unique to you guys. I'd really like to know what you guys listen to.
Well, I appreciate that. We try our best to integrate the influences. In fact, when we're recording, we intentionally don't listen to anybody else's music so as to not be unduly influenced.
Yeah.
But I know Paul and I both share a deep affection for another Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
True.
Kenny Rogers.
You know, I've heard a couple of people.
I'm more
in
into his chicken than his music, but
you're more into still. The chicken.
Yeah.
Is that where you compose?
No. He's
well, a lot of this isn't composed, is it? It's not. I've heard the same song on a couple of different live albums of yours, and at least it's called the same song, but it's nothing like. The same.
Well, there are a few songs where it's really just an improvisational framework, if mm-hmm. you will. It's not truly a composition in the sense of, you know, here's the sheet music, here's the notes. Neither of us have ever learned to read music or went to school or took any lessons on any actual instruments, although I did spend some time with some lessons on an Apple IIe.
Oh, okay.
Which inspired that second record, Computer Love World. But those pieces you're referring to are sort of a framework. So influenced, I think, equally by John Cage and the sort of free-form children's records that we used to get, in which there would be a story setting each song, mm-hmm. and we try to just follow the journey.
Like an Ella Jenkins kind of...
Well, actually, there's one record that we both shared. We both had it. And one of our early experiments involved playing both copies at the same time. And I'm referring to a record featuring Strawberry Shortcake. It was a Strawberry Shortcake story. Yeah, and you'll hear a bit of it on the Hive Years CD, which is coming out. But... unfortunately, we had to edit it due to corporate reasons.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, Kenny, is that mic working?
Yeah, Kenny Paul.
Kenny. When you actually initiated the breakup of the group a couple of years ago, when you guys went on hiatus, it's my understanding.
Yeah.
What, I mean, you just wanted to go out? Did you do side projects on your own?
Yeah, I had this solo project for a while.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty unproductive.
Was it really? Well, that's funny because you're really the central composer, not composer, but you have most of the. How does this work? How do you guys write? I mean, Kenny, I see you have most of the writing credits, but it's also pretty clear that a lot of this is very improvised.
Oh, I'm the unspeaking genius of the band.
Okay.
Yeah. You might note that he's a little quiet on the mic. That's also the way he's in the studio, but he directs, you know. Uh-huh. He's one of those people that doesn't need to speak to give an order, if you know what I'm saying.
I think, okay, all right.
And again, those improvisational songs, you know, all those designs are Kenny's. The one song on the third album, Live in Tasmania,
mm-hmm.
Which is a bunch of, the title, I don't even remember, it's a bunch of derivations of Pi.
Mm-hmm.
Which Kenny came up with. He worked all that out for many hours on a scientific calculator to make sure.
Pretty painful to make.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a grueling experience because we had to make sure that each segment of the song fit the time code that Kenny had pre-described or prescribed.
But in the end, I think it shows the the. Triumph of bleeding for your art,
Yeah, yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I've seen you guys come away with some shows pretty beaten up.
Yeah,
you guys get really into it.
Well, we feel that a lot of bands just perform, and you know, we're not KISS or anything, but we do want to give people something to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lord knows we're nothing to look at just by ourselves.
Yeah.
I didn't expect you to agree so strongly there. There have been a few performances with bloodletting. There was one involving other bodily fluids at one point, in which case we both ended up in jail.
Where was that?
An interesting night.
I really don't want to talk about that.
Well, Kenny doesn't like to talk about it. It's Cincinnati.
Cincinnati?
Yeah, we spent the night in prison.
Okay.
All I have to say is I'll never be able to look at mashed potatoes again without having to search through it for roaches.
All right, I'll leave it at that. I'm going to play another song now off of the... you guys gave me, you know, just some of the promo stuff you're working on.
Right.
This is... the working title is apparently Acoustic Experiment. Do you think it'll have a different title when you get stuff rolling?
Yeah, we tend to do those things last minute. Actually, we've been thinking that that song might be called Supersonic Splashdown.
Okay. We'll go to Supersonic Splashdown right now. In the meantime, you are listening to WRSU-FM. I'm interviewing Dr. S and the Phone-Ins, and... On that note, you can phone in your questions to Dr. S and the Phone-In.
Nice.
Call Kenny and Tyler. You can call
me.
Love
to talk to our fans.
Yeah, no. I'm sure plenty of people would like to speak to you. Give us a call here at 732-932-8800, and you'll get a chance to talk with Tyler and Kenny of Dr. S and the Phone-Ins. So this is Supersonic Splashdown?
Yes.
Okay, Supersonic Splashdown. Excellent, excellent. You are listening to WRSU FM New Brunswick. We actually do have a phone call for you guys. So let's just wait a couple minutes on that phone. So, caller, I hope you can hang on for a moment.
Sure. We'd love to speak to our fans.
Oh, you do? Okay.
We'll pick up the phone in a second.
Okay.
Give us a call back in about, I don't know, 10 minutes or so.
Okay. So, let's see. That was acoustic. That was pretty intense, actually. That was the two of you guys, just guitars and effects?
Yeah. That was me performing the guitar. Kenny handling the effects.
Okay. Now, who's Dr. S?
Well, neither of us is Dr. S. There's no actual Dr. S.
Oh.
Our band's name is Dr. S in the phone-ins.
Okay. See, because I always... You're kind of the front man, and Kenny Fall is kind
right.
of the...
And my name, since being Tyler Spurvin, most people consider me to be Dr. S.
Yeah.
I'm not Dr. S.
It's just
a coincidence that my last name begins with an S. It's
doctor.
Right. And I'm not a doctor in any shape or form. I don't even play one on TV.
He's not even a spin doctor.
Oh. Yeah.
Is that an influence?
I would say some of their early singles, undergrounds, their performances as the Weeds.
Weeds. Yeah. That's
a lot of people don't know that when they got too big, they performed under the pseudonym The Weeds, sort of like the Beastie Boys perform as the Quasars.
No kidding.
We plan to do that if anybody ever starts buying our records.
Yeah. Well, you might get too big in Japan and have to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Hopefully Tom Waits crosses his fingers.
Yeah, so I had always figured that Dr. S had to be one of you, because you're both so distinct, and I had always used it to try to figure out, you know, who was more important.
Well, then who would be the phone-ins?
No, you see... what we wanted when we sat down and wrote a band name. In fact, we had a band name for how many years was it? Three years before we actually even had touched an instrument. Because you know we've known each other since kindergarten. That fateful day with the Blocks. We wanted something that would apply to our sound. Would tell people a bit about what we felt like as a band, you know, how our records felt, which is also how we try and do our sleeves. We try and make the sleeves evocative of the music. Mm-hmm. The last album being wrapped in tissue paper exclusively. It was very difficult to press all those, but I think, again, as Kenny mentioned before, bleeding for your art is necessary.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You guys, I mean, do you ever feel like you get pigeonholed as, I mean, some of the albums you put out are so intense and so amazing just in their cover art.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I've been told by a couple of people that they buy it just for the art, that they're not a fan necessarily of the music. They appreciate the art,
what do you think about that? Is that okay with you?
It's fine with me. I know Kenny Paul has some problems with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just here for the music.
He's one of those people that if he had his way, records wouldn't have any sleeves.
Right. I mean, I just, you know, I'm all for just, I put out a solo album that has like no artwork at all. It's just a disc.
Oh, yeah.
The funny thing is, even Kenny doesn't know which CD it is.
Oh, no.
it's kind of funny. Kenny is very influenced by Mr. Jandek.
Mm-hmm.
So that plain sleeve kind of thing goes in. But he thinks...
Kind of the catalog effect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's something we wanted, because eventually we wanted people to be able to look retroactively back through our catalog and want to get it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is another reason... why all our releases are individually numbered.
Okay. What are you
just
up
randomly,
to now?
not in order.
Oh.
Like your first album was number 47, the next one was number 82.
Oh, okay. Is that a take? There was a label that did that. ESP Disc, I think, might have done that.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But back to the band name.
Yeah, the band
issue.
And the name. Where did it come from if neither of you is Dr. S?
Well, it's a funny story.
Tell it, please.
An old girlfriend of mine, back in the early 90s, Well, let's just say there were some issues in her past with an ex-boyfriend, who at one point during their relationship had called in a phone-in talk show
mm-hmm.
on the radio
mm-hmm.
For a psychologist named Dr. S. I won't embarrass anybody, any of the parties related by elucidating any further. But it's one thing that really affected our relationship once she came to me and affected my relationship with a friend named Fred, who originally was a member of the band back when we were called Peaches and Curbs.
Peaches and Curbs. I didn't even know that. I don't have any Peaches and Curbs albums in the studio. I wish
some of that is available on the upcoming compilation. Very little of it was any good. In fact, most of it is actually equivalent to White Noise.
Equivalent to White Noise?
Yes. Fred was sort of a very avant-garde styled person, which is one of the reasons why we no longer get along.
Okay. I'd like to put a call on you, call on the air. So...
Okay, sure.
Okay, all right. So, let's hang on a second. WRSU, you're on the air.
All right.
That would be a dial tone.
That would be a dial tone. Hmm. It must be the phone's problem.
Are you just playing one of my solo albums?
That's obviously a problem with the phone. Let's see, where were we? So, Doctor, did you?
I'm a little irked by this, to tell you the truth.
The hang up?
Well, one of the reasons that you convinced us to get on the phone, to get on the air, was that we'd be able to talk to the fans on the phone.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
We have our email address set up, our website, which so far the only hits are random people who, searching for Booberry, came all along our song title, Booberry Delight. So we're anxious to hear from someone who's a diehard fan. We know they're out there.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'll see what we can do. We have a listenership, and I'm sure people listen. You get some play on this station, and I'd imagine. Yeah. Okay. Let's do the following. What's a good track to play off of this collection you gave me? What should we hear?
We should hear "Deficient Train Coming."
Deficient Train Coming. Okay, that is that's
on the upcoming The Hive Years, 1996 through 1998 collection from Dr. S and the Phone-Ins.
Okay, good announcement.
Am I good DJ?
Yeah,
it'll be
yeah,
a fallback
yeah.
career.
Here, this is Deficient Train Coming. Well, we're obviously only going to hear an excerpt of this.
This is a quite long recording.
This is Deficient Train Coming.
Acts 1 through 7.
Acts 1 through 7. And who's playing what on this?
This would be myself performing keyboards, Kenny in the background humming.
Okay. Okay. So, WRSU-FM, we'll see you in a moment.
Thank you.
Train coming, acts 1 through 7.
And this is WRSU-FM.
That's performed by Dr. S. And the phone-ins, who is me,
and
my friend there, Kenny Paul.
Okay. Tyler, you're really into this DJ thing.
Yeah, I'm trying out. It's kind of a fun thing. I I've always wanted to have a DJ show, get to play all my favorite records.
Yeah.
There's so many. I mean,
listen, we have a caller on the air right now.
Okay,
Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Kathleen is.
That's a busy signal.
Kathleen,
that's also
can you
one
hear
of my solo
us?
Albums.
I can hear you.
Okay, can we hear Kathleen there?
No.
Yes, I can hear Kathleen. Kathleen, how are you doing?
Okay.
I'm good.
Great, Kathleen. Do you have something you want to ask the band?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's so great to talk to you guys.
Oh, wow, it's great to hear from you, finally.
That sounded scary.
That sounded like one of my other solo albums.
Yeah, that actually, were you playing Kenny's solo album back then?
Actually, Kenny Paul, I listen to you all the time, especially like when I'm studying, like, you know, like Nietzsche or something. It really puts me in the mood.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, actually, you know, Kenny Paul, heavily influenced by the works of Jung and Nietzsche.
Yeah, it's just great.
I hate to correct you on the pronunciation. It's Nietzsche. Nietzsche.
Okay. Sorry.
But I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. I don't know if you remember me, Tyler. I got your autograph once. I had you to sign my forehead, but backwards, so I could see it in the mirror.
Oh, you were the one that had the Dead Can Dance t-shirt. Yeah, I remember
Yes.
That.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, actually, we have a photo of you up in our bedroom.
Right.
That's a connection with a fan.
Yeah.
How long ago was that, Kathleen?
A couple years ago, back in their early days, I think Roger might have still been playing with them.
Yeah,
I think Roger was.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, this fan had a bit of a crush on Roger.
He was hot, but he couldn't sign his name for some reason. He said he didn't know how to write or illiterate or something
like
that.
Well, actually, Roger was against graphite.
Oh.
He was from a very obscure group of monks, mostly based in the Adirondacks.
His hand was also backwards.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But I did have a legitimate question, so it's such an honor just to, you know, converse with you guys.
Oh, well, thank you. It's an honor to have you listen to us.
Thank you. I was just curious, what's the background, what's the behind the music story of your title for, my favorite song, Metaphorical Strawberries?
Oh, that's a story and a half.
Wow.
Now, what album is that off of, guys? That's off of, what, number... Oh, geez, I get so confused.
That's off of Where's Chris?
Where's Chris?
Where's
okay.
Chris? That song, again, the you know, we did plan the connection to the Strawberry Shortcake influence that we both hold, but the, you know, that it just sort of shines through. Sometimes the universe likes to, it's like we have our own little mini collective unconscious between Kenny and myself. Again, you know, the Jungian thing pouring through, which is a lot of our influences, I'd say, are non-musical in character. We're very influenced by literature.
I'm also very influenced by, like, the shower and, like, you know, the street cleaner.
Yeah, you just kind of like the everyday noises.
Well, yeah. Well, Kenny's solo album was featured a cover of Ernie and Rubber Ducky.
Ernie from, like, Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, Rubber Ducky, You're the One.
Yeah, it was okay. A really free-form, like caveman-type cover of it.
Right. He's known to compose in the shower, in the tub.
Yeah.
But that's actually where metaphorical strawberries came from.
Wow.
I was in the shower one day, and I was just, like, staring at the shower head for about 5 hours straight, and I just came up with the song.
And there was a... In my apartment, when I had moved in, the people before me had not cleaned out their stuff. Later I found out it was because one of them was killed. So it was a dead person's stuff. Thankfully, I didn't know that at the time. It would have creeped me out. But left in the freezer was a box of old, moldy, frozen-out strawberries.
That was on the Ice Cream album, wasn't it?
Well, that was on... The story of that is on the Ice Cream album. Metaphorical Strawberries was later on Where's Chris, okay, which is actually a re-edit of the Ice Cream album.
Oh, all right. Okay, that's right.
That's the album that we recorded entirely on the back of an ice cream truck.
Okay. Kathleen, that answers your question?
Yeah, that was a great story.
Yeah, I'd imagine
there's plenty
of
stories. We've been discussing writing a book.
Well, everything about you guys is just great.
Thank you. Hope to see you at the upcoming shows.
Great.
Will you be in Japan?
Okay. I'll try to get there.
We're trying to get there, too, so we'll hope to see you.
Maybe we can do a fundraiser together.
Wow.
All right.
I'd love to, Kathleen. It's great to hear from you again.
Okay, Kathleen, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Peace.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we are... I'm potting up the song we were playing, and I wanted to know if you could comment, because I could hear, as Kathleen was talking, we could hear it changing tone and changing timbre. Is that an instrumental change, or just kind of, you know, a feeling?
Well, that would be the change in acts. There was actually a typo on the first release of this. That it didn't get the acts 1-7 printed on the record.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been there. In the reissue, which now includes 2 bonus tracks featuring our early demos recorded in the back of a truck.
Yeah, and actually a DVD porn that you guys made in the box along with it, which I was going to ask you about pretty soon. Like, where did you get the idea of erotic art?
I think it's been a major part of both of our lives.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Necessarily.
Is there, when did you start delving into the erotic?
Probably when I was, 7.
Right.
Yeah.
That, again, the meeting of the minds happened at an early age.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little known fact that most of the songs that we have, which are named after females, are actually named after erotic photographs.
Yeah. Well, but how come you, with this video, and I guess it was crass of me to call it a porn.
A little, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. With the film that you guys made, What got you together making the art, you know, together and being in a scene, being in an erotic video, you know, together? Is this something...
It really is an extension of our stage performances.
Yeah.
There are so many people who didn't ever get a chance to see us.
But is there that much eroticism in your stage performances?
Before the arrest, certainly. Before the arrest.
Before the arrest.
We've had to tone it down, again, necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the man is, putting a muzzle on our creative freedom.
Well, certainly isn't that the truth.
And well, have you guys ever been, you know, in a relationship together? Because the video is so tender between you two, and just I, you know, if that's.
You know, there are certain personal experiences.
I'm not at liberty to say
yeah.
anything.
Okay, yeah.
There are certain things that we'd just like to keep between ourselves okay. and the fans who watch the video.
It's so sweet, and it just... Friendship of the truest sort. It brings a tear to your eyes to watch love like that between two men.
I'm sorry
men.
To cry thinking about it. I'd rather change subjects.
Yeah, okay. Can we move on?
Yeah,
this
let's...
is very emotional.
Okay. Not a problem.
It's only an interview. It's not an interrogation, Kenny. It's okay. It's
okay.
All right. It'll be okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, let's hit up another song here. Let's go to... let's see. This is a fairly short one. This is called Dishes in the Sink. And unless there's a story behind that that I you know, can't get from the name.
Kenny composed it based on the... disposition of dirt on dishes in the sink.
Okay. Okay. In which case, this is Dishes in the Sink. Off of what album, gentlemen?
Frozen Hive.
Frozen Hive? Okay. We'll be right back. If you have a call, if you want to ask the gentleman of Dr. S and the phone ends any question, give us a call. 732-932-8800 here on WRSU-FM. WRSU-FM. We're talking to Dr. S in the phone-ins. Okay. We're back on the air. Dr. S in the phone-ins. Can we hear you?
I think we can.
Okay. Spectacular. What are your plans after Japan? I want to know the long-term plans.
I guess expect the unexpected.
We did say we're going to do a book. It's going to be really expensive, and there's going to be, like, lots and lots of different...
News clippings, articles about mm-hmm. us.
Well, yeah, it's going to be different, like types of paper in it. It's going to be, like very random, very...
Well, we see, we're really into the cross-cultural diversity.
Yeah.
So we want to include languages, typography, paper qualities from all corners of the world together.
Yeah, we're very looking forward to our trip to Japan, because that's going to very, very much influence this book, I think.
Yeah, I think we really won't know what it will be, truly, until it's done, until we've been there.
Yeah.
And it will provide us with something to document.
Okay.
And speaking of providing, I want to thank that caller who just suggested the title for the book.
That is?
It's Really Not Funny.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent title.
Yeah, I think that expresses our true commitment to our art.
Yeah.
Because we don't, you know, this isn't a comedy band.
No.
We're not trying to do anything that's like...
No, we don't believe in humor in music at all.
No,
this is true art. That's why we're here on college radio. We've been offered many times big deals on big major record labels. You know, we have connections there. We've turned them all down because we feel that we need to stay true to our art until we can get someone provides us with a larger platform that comes muzzle-free, to use Kenny's term.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our interview is just about over. Our time is just about wrapping up. I'd say we have time for another song.
Sure.
Anything in particular you'd like? Any album?
Oh, there's so many. Kenny, do you have any thoughts? I don't know what to pick. We brought practically our entire catalog with us. You know, Kenny has a pretty spacious trunk.
Yeah, that took a while to bring everything, because we have so many, like, limited... like side releases and like
mm-hmm.
very, you have to be a pretty like dedicated fetishistic collector to have everything,
which is really who we're in it for.
Yeah,
we want to make collector's objects with our music. Both of us are heavily influenced by baseball card collecting, comic book collecting, mm-hmm. basically any obsessive compulsive collecting,
mm-hmm. and also just activity. You know, underground like tape trading and just
the Wild Planet years, certainly
building like a huge
a
mythology
network.
And like just huge legends of like, I mean, we've done so many things, like if you know people like Wolf Eyes and Time Stereo that do all these very limited things like that, you know, we're totally into that. Because you know, we have things that we've only made like 7 copies of.
Well, there was our 7-inch that included an action figure.
Yeah.
There was the paint by numbers record sleeve. There have been quite a few projects like that. Kenny is not necessarily into those extra musical elements. However, I think they're an important part of our mystique.
Well, Kenny, it didn't seem like you weren't into them. You plan a lot of them out, don't you?
No, I'd rather, I don't know. I think, like this book that we're doing, I think I'd rather keep some of that kind of stuff for that and not be associated with the music as much.
Okay.
Because the music itself is on a different level than the artwork.
We're only in it for the music, really.
Yeah, okay. I am, definitely. I don't know about him. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Right.
Well, that goes back to the breakup years, but...
Oh, God.
All right, so let's play this last tune we have queued up. This is from the Mango Lassi album, and the song.
One of my personal favorites, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The song
I didn't like
is.
It that much.
The song is.
We shall agree to disagree.
Which, I don't agree with it. No.
Which song? Which song do you think I should play from there?
The title track. Chunk
okay, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay, we are back.
Hello, Planet Earth.
Hi.
Do you gentlemen count an artist from... do you guys count Jandek among your influences?
Musically? I mean, we've spoken about his artwork earlier, but musically,
I've never listened to any of his albums ever.
We've bought them, but we've never put them on the turntable. Uh-huh. No.
We're obsessed collectors of his music because of the whole mystique, but...
No. You know, we don't believe in outsider music, personally.
Well, what do you mean by that?
We don't believe that it's something that should be appreciated. We think that that kind of music only makes fun of the less fortunate, and we're not here to poke fun at anybody. We're here to pursue our own artistic vision, and we just don't believe in that.
Uh huh.
It's part of our code.
Because I thought that sounded an awful like Jandek.
No. Without, I'm. Kenny composed that.
It took me five years to make that song.
Let me pull up an album. So just.
I mean, seriously, all those the voice and the guitars and this.
If you can't hear the harmony in that, because it was based upon.
That was something that I had in my head for the longest time, and I couldn't figure out how to put it to music. And
your ears can't hear the Mixolydian flat second. Then I'm sorry. Then maybe you're not prepared for Dr. S and the Phone-Ins. Jandek is someone who doesn't.
Because this is actually Jandek playing in the background right now from Modern Dances.
No, it's not. That's our album.
No. That's Jandek.
That's.
Well, that's a Spanish in me.
That's the voice that I had in my head for 5 years.
Clearly Jandek sampled us. Who does he think he is? Does he think he's John Oswald or something? He can just take other people's music and make it his own?
Well, hang on. This is from 1987. Jandek Modern Dances. Wait a second. I'm looking at the... I can't listen to the songs, but just looking at the grooves, it looks like your record is Jandek's record.
I was in kindergarten in 1987.
Yeah, how could we...
Well, I mean... That's...
No, we've never even listened to it.
No, this is the first...
This sounds nothing like our record, by the way.
No.
I don't understand how you can't hear the difference.
These are the same records.
No.
No, not at all.
No, wait a second. Your record came out in this one, what is it, 1999. Jandek's 1987, and they're identical.
No.
No, I...
I don't... This sounds nothing.
This interview... I'm sorry, this interview's over. No. No.
In May of this year, I was given clearance to resume driving.
After 31 years of blindness, a cornea transplant gave John his sight back.
And I was issued a learner's permit at the age learning to drive in this state.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Some of the music heard on WRSU is provided by a program grant from the Princeton Record Exchange. Located on 20 South Tulane Street in downtown Princeton, Princeton Record Exchange, with over 150,000 titles in stock, buys and sells CDs, LPs, and DVDs. Their phone number is 609-921-0881 or on the web at www.prex.com.
Buttocks are one of the major erogenous zones of...
You are listening to WRSU-FM New Brunswick, 88.7 on the left-hand side of your FM dial. My name is Chris. That was Radio Trifecta that you just heard. And as soon as I get something queued up, I can say that I will definitely be here until 6 o'clock, at which point Mr. DJ Jessamon should come on. So let's see, what have we got? Okay, this is The Fugs from The Fugs' first album. Well, let's play the opener. This is The Fugs. Ladies and gentlemen.